mouth.
You ate a fly, Bonnie?
It's that time of year, if you're visiting with us. Every fall, we have this infestation of flies. And I don't want to inhale one that Bonnie's already inhaled. If you're visiting, I was up here preaching. I inhaled one and coughed him right back out. He had the shock of his life that morning. You know, I know for most of you in this room, your favorite day of the year falls on January 14th. My birthday. But the second favorite day of the year for many of you in this room happens this week, right? How many of you are going to be out in the... I'm really curious about this. This isn't a trick question. Not going to make fun of you. How many of you will be hunting Tuesday? I'm just curious. I would have thought more than that. A good many. And I see a good many ladies have their hands raised. Well, I hope you're safe and I hope you enjoy it. I'm not a hunter, but I'm not opposed to hunting at all. Both my boys love to hunt. They hunt all the time. And my son Jeremy, he's got it figured out. He wanted to go hunt last evening. So he's got four little ones at home. Well, they're not all little, but he's got four kids at home. And he loves to hunt. Maybe he would confess, maybe even too much and too often. So he has to negotiate with his wife, Angie, on that. And he said, I need to go hunting this afternoon. And she says, only if you bring the kids. And he said, you got a deal. I said, how are you going to do that, Jeremy? He says, hook up a video in the truck, leave them in the truck. I go walking, and she's happy, they're happy, and I'm happy. And that's how he pulled that off yesterday. But I do hope that you are safe this week and through this hunting season. I hope you enjoy it. The message today is entitled Ambassadors for Christ. Subtitle would be A Proper Perspective for the Days in Which We Live. And I have said the last two Sundays in introducing the message that there's a lot of people that have been discouraged, almost to the point of being depressed. And I think part of that can be corrected if we have a proper perspective of who we are as Christians. And I believe when you have the proper perspective, and that's one of the good reasons for coming to church. You come to church to learn and to grow and make things that are wrong right. And sometimes our perspective can be wrong. So you come to church and the pastor, through God's word and with the help of the Holy Spirit, helps you to get your perspective right. Because our perspective can make a difference, okay? How you see things can make a difference. If you're not seeing things right in this world around you as a Christian, through that wrong perspective, you could get really discouraged, even to the point of being depressed, even to the point of being in despair, if you have the wrong perspective. Perspective makes a difference. When I was, there's going to be somebody in this room who's going to know this. In Seattle, Washington, they had the World's Fair in 1964, right? Anybody know? Anybody remember? 63? Joanne Scher, when was it? You have to... Okay, so you don't... Well, anyway, years ago, Seattle had a World's Fair. And my mom, her brother and his wife and kids lived in Seattle, Washington. And even though we were a working class, maybe even a little lower middle class family back then, it was quite the deal to take a road trip from Louisiana to Seattle, Washington. But my dad bought a white Rambler station wagon, and we pulled in, and we bailed in and took off cross country going up to Seattle to the 1964 or whenever it was World's Fair. 62? Yeah, I was 10, 11, or 12 years old at that time. And I remember I had a couple of horrifying experiences. First, they have the Space Needle there in Seattle. I don't know how high that is, but it's way higher than I am willing to go. But my mom and dad thought that I needed to go to the Space Needle. And I was terrified, and I've been angry at my parents ever since because they made me go. I don't like heights. I don't do heights today. If we were to go to Chicago as a group and y'all wanted to go to Sears Tower, I would stay on the ground and watch the bus and make sure that nobody broke in because I'm not going to the top. But anyway, that was one of my terrifying experiences. The other terrifying experience was my Uncle Leo, who passed away not too terribly long ago, had a bow. They lived on a hillside in Seattle. It looked across Puget Sound. You could see the white-capped Olympic Mountains on the far shore. Just a beautiful place Seattle is. And he had a 14, 16-foot little ski boat kind of boat. And he said, let's go out on Puget Sound, a big inlet there, waterway, all ships of all sizes, boats of all sizes. And we're out putzing around this little island. And he says, Glenn, hey, how would you like to steer the boat? And I said, sure, Uncle Leo. And again, I'm 10, 11, 12 at the most. And I'm driving this boat. And all of a sudden, I'm in panic mode. I am in panic mode. And I'm turning the steering wheel. He said, what's the matter? What's the matter? I said, we're going to hit these logs and we're going to sink and we're going down. And he said, those aren't logs. That's seaweed. That's kelp, I think it is, right? For those of you that wouldn't know, that's kelp. And I said, really? I thought the... You know, I remember that. It was that much of an experience that to this day I remember that being afraid, thinking that what I was seeing was logs just under the water that was going to knock a hole in the bottom of the boat and we were going to go down, never to be seen again. But when he told me, he said, hey, calm down. He said, that's seaweed. Just try to avoid it. It's not going to do us any harm. I said, okay. So when I got the right perspective, it changed everything. And we as Christians, even though we see some crazy stuff going on in this world and even in our country around us, we need to make sure that we have the right perspective. And the way to get the right perspective is to go to the Word of God, go to the Bible. The Lord tells us how we ought to view the world around us. And we have found so far two perspectives, looking at the third one today. The first one we looked at was the fact that the Bible tells us to see this world as we are strangers and pilgrims. Hebrews 11:13. It says, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Just understanding that we are strangers and pilgrims has a calming effect. Because a lot of what we see going on in this sin-cursed world around us is disturbing. But the good news is, it is temporary. It is temporary in the eyes of God, because He's going to come back and fix it. But it is temporary in the sense that we are only here, our life is but a vapor, as the Bible describes it. And just understanding that should have a calming and a reassuring effect on each and every one of us. But we also noted last week that the Bible gives us another perspective of how we're to see ourselves on this earth. And we noted that the Bible tells us we should see ourselves as soldiers of the cross. 2 Timothy chapter 2, beginning in verse number 3. Thou therefore endure hardness as a soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangle himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Okay, that's another perspective we're supposed to have, because sometimes life can be difficult, it can be challenging. Well, you would expect a soldier to experience that. A soldier goes into his combat role with the expectation that it's going to be difficult, it's going to be challenging. He accepts that, and that makes him better able to serve. You and I need to understand that sometimes it's going to be difficult, it's going to be a challenge being a Christian in this world. And when we understand that and accept that, we're not going to be discouraged, we're not going to be in despair. We're going to be better able to handle the situation just by knowing that perspective is important. Now let's consider the third and final perspective that we're looking at. The Bible also gives us the image that we are ambassadors for Christ. it's important for us to know that we are here as strangers and pilgrims. That's important for you and I to get in our minds, to get it settled. It's also important for us to get in our minds and get it settled that we are soldiers. You know, we are not living on easy street in this sin-cursed world. That perspective is important. But it is equally important for every one of us to understand and to come to terms with the fact that we are ambassadors for Christ. We have a mission. We have a purpose. In 2 Corinthians 5:20, it says, "Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God." Paul is telling the Corinthians here that he has been sent as God's ambassador to let them know that they can be reconciled to God. He has been sent to let them know that their sins have estranged them from the Creator. And if they die in their sins, they're going to be estranged from the Creator God, from Christ in hell forever. But as Christ's ambassador, he has good news for them. "I have been sent as an ambassador to tell you of your dire condition." That's the bad news. But the good news is God loves you and he will save you from your sins. And you will not have to spend eternity in hell. You can spend eternity in heaven. That's the responsibility of the ambassadors of Christ. They're giving the good news that lost people can be reconciled to God. On that verse, Bible commentator Albert Barnes said the following: "Our message is to be regarded as the message of God. It is God who speaks. What we say to you is said in His name and on His authority, and should be received with the respect which is due to a message directly from God." Notice Paul said, "We are ambassadors." He could have said, "I am an ambassador," but he said, "We are ambassadors," implying that every single one of us in this room are an ambassador for Christ. So when God wanted to give us the right perspective on how we're to view ourselves as Christians in this world, he gave an image that people then and now could be familiar with. He says, "You are an ambassador." And we have an understanding of what that means. There are some points that we need to remind ourselves of this morning. In a practical way, what does it mean to be an ambassador? Because every one of you that I'm looking at, if you are saved this morning, man, woman, boy, or girl, you are commissioned by Christ to be an ambassador. You are here to represent God. You are here to speak in His behalf. That is a noble and a high calling that you need to understand, but not only understand, but embrace. You have a dynamic reason for living. You have a purpose beyond which maybe you even knew, and going to work tomorrow, going to school tomorrow, and going about whatever you have to do tomorrow. You're not just doing it as little old you, you know, with your problems, with your heartaches, with your headaches, with your struggles, with all of that. And we all have issues of our life. But above and beyond all of that, understand, you are an ambassador. Lost people should know that you are a Christian. They should know that there is something different about you. They should know that you have a message. They should know that you have a purpose. They should know that you have a reason for living, which lost people may find difficult to comprehend. So the Lord said, "You're an ambassador." What does that mean? Number one, an ambassador does not appoint himself. A Christian is appointed by the Lord. You and I do not have the option of saying, Yeah, I would like to be an ambassador for the Lord. I would like to represent Christ. I would like to have a good Christian testimony. Or no, I opt out as a Christian. No, you are appointed by the Lord. Now, the only question is, are you going to be a great ambassador? Or are you going to be a so-so ambassador? That choice is yours. But understand, we are appointed by the Lord. Matthew 28:19. Go ye. That's all of us believers. Therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. To teach all nations means to spread the good news of the gospel. So when the Lord says you are an ambassador, he wants you to consider, what does that mean? That's the image that he gave to us. And one of the things that means is you have been appointed. It is a job that you have today, tonight, tomorrow, and for the rest of your life. But number two, we learned that an ambassador does not support himself. God provides for all our needs. You know, when we send an ambassador overseas, you know, he's taken care of. You know, he has a residence over there, and the government pays for that and pays him a salary and pays for his housing and pays for his food and pays for his transportation. As an ambassador for the Lord, our supplies are met. Philippians 4:19. The same apostle that said that he is an ambassador said, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." We are here as ambassadors for Christ, and he provides for us. He's provided for us these beautiful facilities. He has provided for us the Bible. He's provided for us the Holy Spirit. He has provided for us, you know, our brains and everything that we have to be used of him. He has provided that for us. The question is, will we squander that, or will we appreciate it and use it to the best of our ability to be the best ambassador that we can be? Number three, an ambassador does not belong to the country to which he is sent. A Christian is not a citizen of this world, but of heaven. Understand, you know, if you're an ambassador to Japan, that doesn't make you Japanese. You are in a foreign land as an ambassador, but that is your residence. That's where your work is going to take place. And so it is for us Christians. This world is not our home. We're just a passing through. We're passing through as ambassadors. The Bible says, "Dearly beloved, I beseech you again, as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul." We are strangers, we are pilgrims, we are ambassadors. And when an ambassador's job is done, guess what? He is called back home. And when our job is done here, we'll be called home to be with our Lord in heaven forever. Number four, an ambassador does not enter a country for his personal interest. He's a representative of the country he represents. Believers as ambassadors represent the Lord Jesus Christ. When we send an ambassador overseas, it's not about how he thinks things ought to be run, but he's getting his orders, I guess, from Washington, D.C. And he's there representing someone. We represent the Lord Jesus Christ. When we go out in public tomorrow, we will be representing the Lord. In so many ways, maybe ways you hadn't even thought of. The way you dress is going to reflect well upon our Lord who he represents, or it won't. The way you talk, the jokes you tell, the jokes you listen to will represent you well among the lost people of this world, or it will not represent you well. We need to understand that. We're not here for our personal interests. And that perspective should encourage you this morning. That life is more than just getting up and going to work and, you know, working hard and then, you know, coming home at night and, you know, eating supper and getting up the next day to do it all over again to hope to have a little reprieve on the weekend. How shallow is that? How meaningless is that? No, we as Christians have been appointed as ambassadors. When you go to work tomorrow, you go to school tomorrow, yeah, you got the mundane responsibilities of doing your job well and doing your best in school, but bigger and better than all of that is you're an ambassador for the Lord. Number five. An ambassador. No, number. We're on number four or five. Where were we? We go to number five. I lost my way here. An ambassador has instruction in written form. The word of God is the policy statement for believers. When ambassadors go to a foreign land, they often show their credentials. When they have important business to conduct, they will give a folder. They will give the information in written form. It is that important. We don't want any mistakes. We don't want there to be any misunderstanding. Here it is. It is written down for you. And that's how they communicate one with another. And so it is us with the Lord. These are instructions right here. This is the message that we have. It is written. And this is what we share with people. And we do so with enthusiasm. Number six, an ambassador does not take an insult as personal. Oh, this is important. It is his country which is being insulted. God takes care of his reputation, his name, and his word. We're not here to defend the word, but to preach it. The Holy Spirit takes care of the results. When an ambassador goes to a foreign country, he is representing our country. And he shares with them what our country represents, the values that our country represents. Some countries will appreciate that and they share those values. Other countries, say Iran, who do not share our values, will express animosity towards that ambassador for what he represents. And we need to understand that in representing the Lord, there will be people that do not share those values. They're lost. They're walking in darkness. They're totally controlled by the flesh, by Satan, and by sin. And we needn't take it personally when they get offended at us at work or at school, or they're making fun of us. Number seven, to be an ambassador is the highest possible calling. Christians are called to the highest calling in Christ. Romans 1:6, among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ. That's a perspective that we need to understand and appreciate. This is a high calling. There's no higher calling on the face of the earth than to be an ambassador for Jesus Christ. God has sent us to be an ambassador. Now, what I want to encourage you with in these final moments is this. You ought to eagerly accept that responsibility. Yeah, some people might not appreciate it. Some people might make fun of you. And these days, you might even lose friends over the fact that you are an ambassador for Christ. You might even go so far as to lose your job because you are an ambassador for Jesus Christ. Nonetheless, think about our message as ambassadors. And this should encourage you. This should motivate you. Because you're not getting this from lost people. You're not getting this from pagan religions. The message that we have is so unique and so wonderful that we should be proclaiming it every opportunity we have. Number one, we'll go through these quickly. There's seven. Number one, God has sent us to be ambassadors of peace. Ambassadors of peace. John 14:27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. We are ambassadors of peace. When we share the Lord with people, we are sharing with them the source of peace, a peace that you cannot know outside of Jesus Christ. And we should embrace that. We should be enthusiastic. We should be thankful for the fact that this week we get to be ambassadors for Christ, whether we're in a grocery store, a department store, or picking up, whatever, as we're doing our business around town. We are ambassadors of peace. Why won't we embrace that? Number two, God has sent us to be ambassadors of joy. We're here to spread the joy of the Lord. John 15:11, these things I have spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. As ambassadors for Christ, we are promoting peace in the hearts of people. We're promoting joy in the hearts of people. You cannot find true peace and lasting joy outside of Jesus Christ, for whom ambassadors we are. Number three, God has sent us to be ambassadors of hope. As we share the good news with people, as we testify to people, as people look at our lives and they see a difference in us, we are ambassadors of love. Number three, God has sent us to be ambassadors of love. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye love one another. And then number four, God has sent us to be ambassadors of hope. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace and believing that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. You know, if I were to tell you, hey, okay, as ambassadors, we're going to go out tomorrow and give people $20 bills. You know, other than first wanting to keep it for yourself, once you got past that, you say, this would be great. I'd be easy giving people $20 bills. I don't think I'd have a problem with convincing people in this room, hey, this is what I want you to do. And you say, oh, no, I don't want to give people $20 bills. You know, no, we have something better than that. Through Jesus Christ, people can find what they're not finding anywhere else. They can find peace. They can find joy. They can find love. They can find hope. And one of my favorites, number five, God has sent us to be ambassadors of purpose. I mentioned it a while ago. How people just get up every day, go to work, come home, fuss at the wife and the kids, go to bed, and get up and do it again the next day. With the only exception maybe being having some party time on weekends, which is everything to them. I mean, that's their life. That's the average lost person's life right there. And I think how sad. But how wonderful it is when you come to know the Lord as your Savior, that life has not only a purpose, but it has a noble purpose. It's a great calling. It's an honorable calling. And God has called us as ambassadors of purpose through Jesus Christ. You then know where you came from. You then know why you're here. You know where you're going. You have a purpose in life. And as ambassadors for Christ, as we introduce people to Christ, we introduce them then to their purpose, to their hope, to their love, to their joy, to their peace. Number six, God has sent us to be ambassadors of contentment. The Bible teaches that, but godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into this world, it's certain we can carry nothing out, and having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. Therewith content. Contentment. Can you imagine a more miserable life than a discontented individual and not being able to find contentment? And we see so many people, especially movie stars and personalities, who seem to have everything except contentment. And yet we can show them Christians who have far less material possessions than those people, but have something far more valuable than those people, and it is contentment. A contentment that only comes in knowing Jesus Christ. We are ambassadors. We're ambassadors of Jesus Christ through which they find contentment, they find purpose, they find hope, they find love, they find joy, they find peace. And then lastly, number seven, God has sent us to be ambassadors of forgiveness. Ephesians 1:3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Skipping down to verse number 7, talking about Christ, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. As ambassadors of Christ, when we point people to Christ, the most important thing they find is forgiveness for their sins, if they will simply trust in him. By simply putting your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, accepting him as your Savior, he will forgive you of all your sins, past, present, and even future. And in that forgiveness, you then have eternal life. Without it, you are damned to hell forever. We are the ambassadors of that message. The Lord has not sent angels to write it in the sky. He has entrusted us as his ambassadors. The Bible says again in 2 Corinthians 5:20, now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. The only question is, the question is not, as a believer, are you an ambassador for Christ? You are. The only question is, do you embrace that? Do you understand that? And I so implore you to consider what that means and how exciting that is and how that gives your life a significance and a purpose that has eternal consequences. Understanding our perspective is so important. As strangers and pilgrims, the right perspective is that our time here is temporary. That's important to understand. That will reduce your stress level dramatically. As soldiers, we're given the right perspective that our time here may be tough. Just knowing that and understanding that helps us not freak out and stress out when it does get tough sometimes. And as ambassadors, our right perspective is that our time here is to testify. Every opportunity we have to enthusiastically share with others who we represent, the Lord Jesus Christ. So in these tough days, as we come to the conclusion of this little mini-series, the right perspective is to see us, our time here on earth is temporary. That'll help you. It's right to see your time here as a soldier as sometimes being tough. That'll help you. And it's very important and encouraging to know that your time here as an ambassador is to testify. That's motivating. That is inspiring that we have been called to do that. We ought to embrace that with enthusiasm and look for every opportunity we can to be a good ambassador for our Lord. Our heads are bowed. As we stand, please.